Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives. And become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. Our listener support campaign continues. You can support the show on an ongoing basis at patreon.greatdetectives.net with monthly support from between $2 and $30 or more per month, but our focus is on one-time donations at support.greatdetectives.net. I want to thank Karen, Charles, Carrie, and Martin all for sending along one-time donations. Thank you all so much for your support. During the listener support campaign, any donation of $20 or more will get a free ebook of your choice from the list that's on the site, including All I Needed to Know I Learned from Columbo and All I Needed to Know I Learned from Dragnet, and an additional thank you gift. Among the items that we do have at the $20 level, we have the Doc Savage audiobook, The Forgotten Realm. This is a great and exciting Doc Savage novel, which throws you right into the amazing world of the Man of Bronze in a full-length audiobook novel, and that's with a donation of $20 or more. At the $50 level, check out Box 13, Adventure Wanted. It's a great release from RadioArchives.com. It's an anthology of short stories featuring Dan Holliday from the Box 13 radio series in 6 new stories. Also, at the $50 level, for those of our listeners in the United States or Canada, we'll send you a Michael Shane movie collection with 4 movies in it, or a Thin Man movie collection with the first 4 films in it. A full list of available thank you gifts are at support.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it's time for today's episode of Boston Blackie. The original air date, August the 20th of 1945. And this one is Blackie Steals Necklace for Charity.
Favorite non-entity, Inspector Faraday. Bad morning, Inspector. You shouldn't have knocked.
I didn't. Blackie, I'm looking for Whitey Barnes, the safe cracker. Do you know him?
Barnes? Let's see. Say, I have a picture of a guy called Whitey Barnes, but I don't think he's a safe cracker. Wait, I'll get it for you.
Thanks. I'm getting somewhere.
As soon as I get you this picture, you're getting somewhere out of here. Grab that phone, will you, Faraday? Tell him to wait a minute.
Okay. Hello?
Hello? I'd like to speak to Boston Blackie, please. It is very important.
Who is it, Faraday?
Just a minute. It's not for you. It's headquarters. I told them they could reach me here.
Okay.
Hello. This is Boston Blackie. What do you want?
I want you to open a safe for me.
Now, look, lady. I don't do things like that. If you want your safe open, why don't you go to the police?
Oh, dear me, no. The police are lovely, but they aren't clever enough to do a thing like this.
Well, now, lady, the police aren't exactly dumb.
Oh, dear me, no, not exactly. But this is very difficult, and it's terribly important. I want you to do it.
Sorry, lady, nothing doing. Goodbye.
Oh, so that was headquarters, was it, Faraday?
Oh, that's who it was for you. Maybe I shouldn't have done it, but I kept you out of trouble. Why don't you think about that?
And maybe you let somebody else in trouble. Why don't you think about that? Meet Richard Calmer's Boston Blackie. Enemy to those who make him an enemy. Friend to those who have no friends. Coming.
Boston Blackie?
Yes?
I'm Alice Warden Bondevere. May I come in?
Oh, of course. Please do.
Oh, you're so kind.
I hope I'm not imposing on you too much. After all, you did refuse me on the telephone. But I thought that if perhaps I came in person...
I didn't refuse you at all, Mrs. Vanderveer. You were talking to Inspector Faraday of the police.
Oh, dear me. And I told him I wanted my safe opened. I've spoiled everything.
I don't think you've spoiled anything. Faraday's a fairly understanding cop. Won't you sit down?
Then you will consider my proposition?
I'm sure I will, as soon as I find out what it is. Please sit down.
Oh, thank you.
Now, what's this all about, Mrs. Vanderveer?
Well, I have a problem. I'm 70 years old, you know.
Being 70 is a problem? You make it look very easy.
Oh, thank you. It isn't my age I'm thinking about. Blossie, my life has been so useless. I want to do something. Something big. Something helpful to others before I die.
Well, you have money.
That's what everyone thinks. Actually, all I have is a very small income and a large diamond tiara. Very valuable, but terribly ugly. It would bring a lovely price if it were sold.
Then why don't you sell it?
I can't. It's an heirloom, handed down in my family for generations. It can't be either sold or given away. No one in the family likes it, but it's too ugly to wear.
So it sits in your safe?
Yes.
Well, how can I help?
If the tiara was stolen, there's very little I could do about it, is there?
Oh, I don't think the insurance company would like that.
Oh, I canceled the insurance on it. I brought the papers along to show you.
You're really serious about this, aren't you?
Oh, dear me, yes. You steal it, break it up, sell the diamonds, and give the money to a charity. I don't want a penny of it.
Well, as a matter of fact, I know someone who is very interested in an orphanage. My friend Mary Wesley would,
I don't care what charity it goes to. Miss Beverly's would be fine, I'm sure. Will you rob the safe for me tonight? I'll give you the combination.
No, don't do that, Miss Vanderveer. I don't want you involved in this any more than necessary.
Oh, dear me, yes, that's right. You don't need a combination to get into a safe, do you?
I haven't needed one yet.
Oh, I'm so happy that you'll do this. I was sure you would.
Well, let's just hope nothing happens before I get it done.
Don't worry, please. Absolutely nothing can go wrong.
Oh, Blackie, please hurry. Strange houses make me nervous.
A fine safe-cracker's assistant you are, Mary.
Oh, will you hurry and open this safe, darling?
Oh, I want to take my time with this one. This is fun.
Just like a picnic, I suppose.
Not exactly. There aren't any ants.
Blackie. Hey, darling, why aren't you wearing your gloves?
What for? I'm just cracking this box for fun. Oh, come on, Mary, relax and enjoy yourself. This is supposed to be a party.
Well, I like parties better than picnics. I'm an indoor gal.
Indorable, I'd say.
Oh, Blackie. You're silly. Come on, please, hurry up.
All right, Mary, all right. I think it's open right now. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, what a noise.
I don't think this box has been opened since Mrs. Vanderveer was born.
Can you find the tiara?
I can't miss it. There it is. Look at it.
No wonder Mrs. Vanderveer wants to get rid of it. It's hideous, isn't it?
But look at the diamonds in it. Wow. When we break it up, do you know what we'll get for these stones? At least 50,000.
And if somebody walks in here and catches us, do you know what we'll get then? At least 50 years.
Inspector Faraday speaking.
Inspector Faraday, this is Alice Warden Vanderveer.
You mean you're all three of them?
Can't you hear me? I said this is Alice Warden Vanderveer.
Oh, excuse me, Mrs. Vanderveer. How are you, Mrs. Vanderveer?
Oh, I'm terrible. My safe was robbed last night.
Okay, I'll have fingerprint man up there in 5 minutes. Don't touch anything, especially that safe.
All right.
And if you don't mind, Mrs. Vanderveer, I'd like you to come down to my office this morning and give me a description of whatever is missing.
Well, I'll certainly be there. You can expect me in a few hours.
Thank you, Mrs. Vanderveer.
I think you will thank me more when I tell you who robbed my safe.
Mrs.
Blackie, this is Mary.
Good morning, Mary. How did you feel giving $50,000 to charity this morning?
Never mind about that. Have you heard the radio today? Mrs. Alice Warden Vanderveer is a double-crosser.
What?
She's told the police that safe of hers was robbed.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. And, Blackie, you know whose fingerprints are on that safe.
Oh, somebody named me.
Yes, darling, somebody named you.
Mary, this is one time Faraday really has me behind his own personal hate ball. I've got to keep away from him.
Now, Blackie, don't you be stubborn. You go see the inspector and you tell him the whole story, please.
I get it. I'm to give in, give up, and give out. Hello, Faraday.
Get out of here, Blackie. I'm busy.
Well, I'm going to make things easy for you.
Just scram. I'm working on an important case. Alice Warden Vanderveer's safe was robbed last night, and I'm out to get the thief.
You know who robbed that safe, Inspector?
No, but I will.
I did.
I heard about the robbery only 2 hours ago. How did... What did you say?
I said I robbed the safe.
Nah.
Yes.
You didn't.
I did. You'll find my prints on the safe door, maybe all over it.
Oh. You'd wear gloves.
I was in a hurry. I forgot them.
Your prints are on the safe door, huh? I'll see about that.
I want to explain this thing, Faraday.
Blackie, if this is one of your tricks...
Yes, Inspector Faraday.
Williams, you have a report yet on the fingerprints we found on the Vanderveer safe?
Yes, sir.
Did they check with any we have in the file?
No, sir.
What?
They don't check with our files, but we made prints of everybody in the Vanderveer house and found out the prints belonged to the son, Tom Vanderveer Jr.
Well, I'll be... Okay, Williams, thanks.
Now, will you believe me, Faraday?
Another one of your tricks, huh? I thought so.
Tricks? What do you mean?
I mean your prints aren't on the Vanderveer safe.
But Faraday...
Get out of here.
Look, Inspector, you've got...
I said get out of here and stay out.
All right.
And just be glad I don't throw you in jail for obstructing justice.
You're a policeman, Faraday, but you're the biggest obstruction justice ever had. Yes?
Williams, are you sure those fingerprints didn't check with any in our file?
They belong to Tom Vanderveer Jr. The fingerprint department guarantees it.
Okay. Send out an alarm to have young Vanderveer picked up.
Yes, sir. And Inspector Mrs. Alice Warden Vanderveer is here to see you.
Send her in.
She's coming in now.
Good.
Inspector Faraday?
Come in, Mrs. Vanderveer.
I brought you a description of what was stolen from my safe. Here it is, written down on this sheet of paper.
Thanks, Mrs. Vanderveer. This will be a great help.
Oh, I want to do all I can to make sure you catch the thief.
Well, tell me, Mrs. Vanderveer, who do you think robbed your safe?
Boston Blackie.
Boston Blackie? What makes you suspect him?
Well, he's been in my house several times on parties there, and he knew the jewels were in the safe.
Well, you know whose fingerprints we found on the safe door?
Yes.
Your son.
Tom? No, that's impossible. Why would Tom rob the safe? Everything in it would have been his someday.
Is that true?
Why, of course. He's my only heir. And Markham, that is Mr. Vanderveer, is leaving all he owns to him.
That's an angle I hadn't thought of. Well, don't worry, Mrs. Vanderveer. We'll have to pick up your son on just a routine charge, of course, but I'm sure that we won't be holding him long.
Oh, thank you, Inspector Faraday. You're so kind. Do you want me for anything more?
No, thanks, Mrs. Vanderveer.
Well, if I can do any more for you, you can reach me at my home.
Thank you. I'll do that.
Goodbye, Inspector Faraday.
Goodbye, Mrs. Vanderveer.
I'll sit for you, Mr. Vanderveer. Inspector Faraday, send you home in a police car.
Oh, how nice.
This way, Mrs. Vanderveer. This door here.
Thank you.
Frank.
Yeah?
This is Mrs. Vanderveer. The inspector wants you to drive her home.
Okay, William. Get in, lady.
I'll help you, Mr. Vanderveer.
I can help myself, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
To 2131 Riverside Boulevard, driver.
Right, lady.
All right, Miss Vanderveer. You better do some explaining.
Why, it's you, Boston Blackie.
And you, Alice Worden Vanderveer, philanthropist, pillar of society, and first-rate double-crosser.
I am. You're the one who's a double-crosser. The diamond tiara isn't the only thing missing from my safe. $100,000 pearl necklace was stolen, too.
What?
And you took it when you took the diamond tiara.
I see right through this one. You stole that necklace.
then had me steal the tiara, so I'd be blamed for both.
I wouldn't do such a thing. I'm a respectable old woman.
Yes, and for the first time, I really believe you're 70 years old.
Why do you say that?
Because no one under 70 could have lived long enough to figure out a gag as tricky as this.
Now back to Boston Blackie. When Blackie robbed the Vanderveer safe of a diamond tiara, he didn't even wear gloves because he was stealing the jewels at the owner's request. Next morning, though, Mrs. Vanderveer goes to the police to report that not only the tiara, but a valuable necklace is missing. What's more, the fingerprints found on the safe don't belong to Blackie, but to Mrs. Vanderveer's son. Mrs. Vanderveer, however, still accuses Blackie of the theft. As we return to our story, Blackie brings Mrs. Vanderveer to the door of her home.
All right, Mrs. Vanderveer. You and I are going inside and have a little talk. That pearl necklace was not in the safe when I robbed it.
And just where do you think it was, Blackie?
Right where it is now, in some pawn shop where you put it. Wait, I'll open the door.
I can open it myself, thank you.
Pretty clever of you. The pearl necklace was probably insured. You not only get the insurance money for it, but an additional amount for selling it.
The pearl necklace isn't even mine. It belongs to my husband, Markham.
All the more reason why you sell it. Well, you're very...
What's the matter?
You have company.
I'm not expecting anyone. She just sits there. She's asleep, I think. Young lady?
Maybe you'd better shake her just a little.
Yes, she seems to be... Oh, those marks on her neck.
You can't waken her, Mrs. Vanderveer. She's dead.
Dead? Oh.
Who is she?
I've never seen her before in my life.
Maybe something in her purse will tell us who she is.
Oh, dear God. I don't know what to do.
Sit down while I go through her purse.
Oh, no. What do you expect to find?
A letter, identification card, calling card or something.
Oh, dear me. I see a face.
Here's something. A ring, a wedding ring. May have... Yes, it does.
It does what?
It has initials inside it. Fairly sharp, too. They say, to B.L., from T.V. Junior.
T.V. Junior?
Yes, you know what this means, too, don't you, Mrs. Vanderveer? This girl was your son's wife.
That's impossible. My son isn't married, and he never was married.
This proves he was. Now, it's an amazing coincidence. Where's the telephone?
Over there on the desk.
Thanks.
What are you going to do?
Call Inspector Faraday of the police. There's just a chance your son ran out of here and right into the loving arms of the law.
Hello.
Blackie, this is Mary. I'm at the marriage bureau and I have those records.
Learn anything?
Yes, you were right. Tom Vanderveer Jr. married Beatrice Lane 6 months ago.
Well, that'd be a surprise to Mrs. Vanderveer.
Well, I don't know why it should be. She was a witness to the wedding.
What?
Sure, both she and Mr. Markham Vanderveer signed the certificate as witnesses.
And she told me she'd never seen the girl before in her life.
What does this mean, Blackie?
It means our sweet old lady may be not only a very clever jewel thief, but a cold-blooded murderess. That's my guess, anyhow.
It's a good guess.
But there's a key figure in this thing we haven't talked to yet.
Yes, I know. Markham Vanderveer, the husband. Tom's father.
Tom's father was Markham's brother. Markham is Mrs. Vanderveer's second husband.
Oh, is that so?
Yes, and I'm going to see him. Because maybe a second husband will give me his second guess.
Well, Mr. Vanderveer, as soon as we find your stepson, this case is closed.
I think I can save you a lot of trouble on that score, Inspector Faraday.
You can save me more than trouble if you'll get rid of that cat you're carrying. Cat's worrying me.
My cat won't harm anyone. I think you'd better hear what I have to say.
You know something?
Yes, I do.
Well, you're way ahead of all of us, then.
Blackie, get out of here.
Get out? Oh, no. I seem to arrive just in time. You with the cat. You must be Markham Vanderveer.
Yes. All right, thank you. Now, what do you want to say, Mr. Vanderveer?
I'm the one you're looking for.
What?
Yes. I really didn't intend to kill this girl, but she caught me talking on the phone.
Well, I've been caught talking on the phone 1,000 times. I haven't killed anyone for it.
I think what Mr. Vanderveer means is that his daughter-in-law caught him talking to a fence about how much he expected for the pearls he stole.
That's right.
I took the pearls.
When?
Last night.
Why?
Well, they were mine, you know, but, well, I needed money. So I knew what Mrs. Vanderveer had arranged with Boston Blackie here. And at 12 o'clock last night, I came down here, waited until Blackie'd gone, and then I slipped in and took the pearls.
What time was this?
12 o'clock. Exactly midnight. Oh,
what's the matter? Hey, hey, you always throw that cat around?
The cat scratched me. Go away. Go away. Two.
All right, Markham. Come on, let's go.
Wait a minute, Inspector.
I've got a confession, Blackie. Now, you stay out of this.
Vanderveer's confession isn't worth the police type of trouble. He's just covering up for Tom.
I did it, I tell you. Tom's innocent.
Then so are you. You said you took the pearls out of the safe at 12 o'clock. After I had opened the safe. Sorry, Vanderveer. Nice try, but I didn't have the safe open until after 2 o'clock.
Well, all right.
All right what?
Blackie is right. I wasn't telling the truth, Inspector. I just wanted to protect Tom. Forgive me, Inspector, but... Well...
Sure, Vanderveer. I understand.
What do you understand, Inspector?
But Vanderveer here was just trying to protect his son.
You amaze me, Faraday. You're not going to make the mistake of arresting an innocent man.
When have I ever arrested a guy who wasn't guilty?
Let's not go into that, Inspector. Let's just get out of here.
Sure you don't mind stopping by my apartment a minute, Mary?
No, of course not, Blackie.
It may take a little while to get hold of Shorty, but it may be worth it.
Sure.
Don't move, either of you.
Well, this must be Tom Vanderveer.
I've got a gun. I'll kill you if you move, either one of you.
Got to be careful.
Sorry, Mary. Tom, I think you'd better get out of here.
Oh, no. You robbed my father's safe. You got me into this. I'm not leaving until you get me out.
I robbed your father's safe, sure. The diamond tiara. But you took the pearls.
I did not.
Your fingerprints were on the safe door.
Only because I closed the door.
All right. You didn't take the pearls, but you're still wanted for murder.
Murder?
You killed your wife.
But Beatrice is dead.
You ought to know. You killed her.
Beatrice is dead. No, she can't be. She can't be.
Look, Tom, if I were you...
Please don't say any more. I don't think you knew she was dead.
May I sit down somewhere, please?
Sure, Tom. Here. I'll give you a hand.
Take my gun. I don't want it.
Put it on the table there, Mary.
Beatrice is dead. That can't be true. How do you know that? How do you know it was my wife?
I found her wedding ring in her purse.
Beatrice had... In her purse? Her ring was in her purse?
That's where I found it.
She never carried it with her. We were keeping it a secret from her family. I kept that ring... kept it in my room. It couldn't be Beatrice.
I'm sorry, but it was.
May I go and lie down a moment, and then I want to see you, Beatrice?
Sure. That's the door to the bedroom there.
Thank you. I won't be long, and then you can take me to Beatrice or to the police or anywhere. I don't care. I don't care.
Oh, Blackie, I feel so sorry for him.
And the worst for him isn't over yet.
What do you mean?
Well, first he's lost his wife. Now I think he's going to lose his mother.
Is he the one, Blackie?
What do you think?
Well, if the old lady didn't do it, who did it?
I don't know.
But how was Tom's wife killed? Maybe that's a clue.
She was strangled.
Oh. Well, would Mrs. Vanderveer be strong enough for that?
I don't know. Let's try to reenact the crime. It may help.
Oh, goody. Just like the movie.
All right. I put my hands in your throat, like this, and press. Now, what do you do?
Hey, not so hard.
Ouch! What's the idea of scratching my hand?
Well, you asked me what I do if you choke me. That's what I do.
Oh.
You satisfied?
Sure. Yeah, that accomplished a lot, didn't it?
Now you know what'll happen to you if you ever do want to strangle me.
Hey, wait a minute. We've hit something.
Have we?
What a clever guy that Markham Vanderveer is.
While Markham was faking his confession to Faraday, he was holding a cat. Suddenly, he pretended that the cat had scratched him.
Oh, Blackie, that is clever. The police would think that any scratches on his hand were made by the cat.
Right. And his confession was clever, too. He made that error in time on purpose, just to make sure I'd know it was a phony.
Oh, Blackie, they can tell the difference between a cat scratch and a human scratch. They can do it at the hospital.
I'm going to call Faraday.
And if that girl scratched Mr. Vanderveer, the coroner can tell by her fingernails.
Don't worry, Mary. I know I have this straight this time. Thanks to that cat Vanderveer was holding. Isn't it strange that it was a cat's claw that put the finger on Markham Vanderveer? Well, Faraday, I suppose you're plenty proud of the way you solved this case.
I always solve my cases. Now, what was the idea of saying your fingerprints were on that safe?
They were, Faraday. Only after I opened the safe, Mrs. Vanderveer cleaned the door just to protect me. Then the son came along a little later and closed it. That's why you found his prints on it, not mine.
Oh.
Later, she denied that she knew her daughter-in-law to try to protect Tom.
Probably. But, Blackie, when I make him confess, I do it right. I know Markham Vanderveer's motive now and everything.
I can guess his motive for stealing the pearls. He needs the money he got from pawning them plus the insurance money. And he actually told why he killed the girl in the phony confession. She caught him arranging to sell the pearls.
Yeah. And to plant the murder on Tom, he got the dead girl's wedding ring and put it in a purse.
Mm-hmm. Did the coroner back up our theory that the girl and not the cat scratched Markham's hand?
Sure. That was proved in the coroner's investigation. Markham's a cinch for the chair.
Yes, we're just about perfect, Faraday. We conduct a little investigation, and the killer conducts a little electricity.
Hi, this is Andrew from OTRWesterns.com. I wanted to invite you to come take a look at our site. We stream live OTR Westerns 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, along with putting out podcasts of old-time radio westerns. Check us out at otrwesterns.com. You're listening to The Great Detectives of Old-Time Radio with Adam Graham. Now let's get back into the show.
Welcome back. Well, this episode is a good example of what I really love about Boston Blackie. In so many ways, it is less constrained by genre rules and expectations than many other programs. This one here, it was just wild and wild. I was sitting there and I kept guessing as to who had actually done it, and they kept you going back and forth. Was it the mother, the stepfather, the son? And once again, we do see a variation with Faraday not rushing to slam handcuffs onto Boston Blackie. We turn now to listener comments and feedback. Charles says, keep up the good work. Then we also have another comment from Martin. I enjoy the podcast and the selection of shows. And then we have a comment over on Facebook with a question. Lois comments, I hope that sometime you may be able to include Broadway is My Beat and The Falcon. Love your programs. Well, thanks so much, Lois. Those are definitely on the list to do. I've not set a determined time for either of them, except hopefully sometime in the future. If I were to guess, I'd say we'd probably end up doing The Falcon first, just because there are so many more episodes of Broadway is My Beat. And also, I'll go ahead and share some of the comments we received regarding the episode, the special, The Hitchhiker. Because we've actually recorded the last listener support special, which would be the other episode it'd be appropriate to share this on. Tracy says, I love this one. My favorite suspense story is The House in Cypress Canyon, though. Rodney says, probably the most famous episode of suspense next to Sorry, Wrong Number. And Patrick says that, and it's also pointed out that Lucille Fletcher wrote both of those famous plays. And then we also have a note that it became the basis for a Twilight Zone episode. And Blaze says, this is such a great old-time radio episode. First heard it when I was a kid off a cassette my dad gave me. Influenced me in so many ways without my ever realizing it. Definitely my gateway drug to old-time radio, shock slash twist endings, and God knows what else. Well, thanks so much, Blaze, and I appreciate the comments, and I'm glad you enjoyed The Hitchhiker. Hope you also enjoyed the Lost special and our final listener support special. All right. Right. Well, that will actually do it for today. A reminder that our listener support campaign does continue. You can support it at support.greatdetectives.net. Among the thank you gifts we do have, at the $50 level, I'll gladly send you an autographed copy of one of my books, including my mystery novel, Slime Incorporated. At the $100 level, be sure to check out some great releases from Big Finish, including the Avengers, The Lost episodes, in which Big Finish recreates episodes of the 1960s Avengers TV show with John Steed and Dr. Keel, and we'll send you either set one, set two, or set three of the lost episodes for a donation of $100 or more. A full list of available thank you gifts is at support.greatdetectives.net, and we still welcome Patreon contributions at patreon.greatdetectives.net. All right, well, be sure and join us tomorrow for yours truly, Johnny Dollar, and then join us back here next Thursday for another episode of Boston Blackie. In the meantime, from Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.